From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of Odd Pods Media. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 156 of From the Middle. We are three middle-class guys doing all kinds of From the Middle things, and we're glad that you are here with us. And if you are new to the podcast, welcome. We are so happy that you're here. Stick around. We're going to have a relatively typical episode of us talking about all sorts of things. We kick off talking about Memorial Day and our festivities of kicking off the summer. Answers from the Middle gets us into drink and party etiquette. Dylan has an interesting experience with a steak sandwich, or perhaps it was just a long cheeseburger. We don't know. We talk a lot about streaming. We catch up on that. Everything from Moon Knight to Hello There. That's right. We give our two credits on Obi-Wan this week. We're talking about Downton Abbey and This Is Us and others. Roll the music.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
From the Middle after dark over here.
Hello, everybody. Happy belated Memorial Day to everybody. Certainly, we want to give a thanks and gratitude to family members and loved ones of those who have served and paid the ultimate price for us so that we can do things like do our own podcast whenever we want. So thank you to all those families, and remember all of you guys and gals who have left us here free to our devices.
And sorry for how we're using those freedoms.
Yeah, we'll see. So that said, Memorial Day weekend has come and gone. I feel like around here in Ohio, it was sort of the first weekend where it just kind of felt like summer. It always kind of feels that way, but this year we had the weather to go along with it. In a big day, we've had sunny and warm. Today, I believe we hit 90 degrees down here in Columbus. And so what did you guys do? Did you guys do anything to kick off the season?
Dylan, you start.
Well, I mean, who's not excited about a long weekend with no work? We had a big family cookout. I had a contest with myself to see how many burgers I could eat. And saw some family I hadn't seen in a long time, which is great. So yeah, tons of fun. I took a nap on a chair outside. That was great. Wonderful. That's a big deal, right? As you get older, you can just,
you know what? That's a big allowed. Deal for Dylan, I think, to be outside taking a nap.
Yeah, that's true.
Congratulations.
Not in the sun, of course. I was in a nice shady spot in a
well,
chair.
Still, hey, baby steps.
But yeah, it was good. And it was so hot, like all the insects were dead. So there were no insects around.
Yeah.
And just put a nice breeze. And so it was lovely. I won the contest of the cheeseburger eating.
How many? How many?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Give it ever?
No.
Too many?
Too many. It was too many. That's how many.
We had a graduation party for my nephew on Friday night, Sherry and I's nephew. Then we had his graduation the following day, which took up a big chunk of the day. Kind of relaxed the rest of Saturday. And then we spent all of Monday at the same party Dylan is referring to. And it was really good. Just a big extended family bash with motorcycle riding and hitting golf balls into the pond and into the field and eating way too much food and kids running through the sprinkler. It was just like the picturesque, perfect Memorial Day up north with family. And I got to say, so Connor, my cousin, who also has a Harley, for a year since I got mine, he and I have been wanting desperately to ride together, but just schedules. And anytime we think we're going to be at the same event, it's rainy. And so I rode my Harley up to the family event, which was about an hour and 20 minutes away. And then once we were there, we got to ride around the lake together side by side. And we almost fist bumped at one point, but there's something really special about riding with a friend or a family member in that staggered or, you know, two abreast situation where you're just like cruising around the lake or a body of water, looking at each other, nodding and smiling. Feels pretty cool.
Nice.
So
that was good. Go ahead.
No, it was just a good time. I was going to make a Top Gun reference about wingman and something.
Let's hear it.
It was cool. I don't know what it was going to be. I was going to misquote the movie.
Top Gun Maverick is crushing it in theaters right now. The single largest Memorial Day weekend release ever and the biggest Tom Cruise movie ever.
I've heard nothing but rave reviews. There's not one friend on Facebook who has commented about it that said, meh, it's all been, they don't make movies like this anymore. Amazing. Two thumbs up. Perfect sequel. In some ways better than the first. Yeah.
I can't wait. So my weekend. So popularly around these parts, Memorial Day weekend is opening weekend for public pools. And I did not know this about my wife, but public pools apparently, or maybe just pools, I don't know, are her happy place. And we've had, when the kids were, I think when our oldest was a baby, we first moved to the neighborhood, we joined the pool, but we haven't since then, and we haven't really spent any time there. Now that the kids are a little older and they're starting to learn how to swim and stuff, we decided this summer is when we were going to dive in into pool membership. And this is something that has been foreign to me. I did not grow up a public pool kid. I grew up swimming in ponds at campgrounds, and it was really cool when one of the campgrounds we went to built a pool. I mean, my experience swimming was that for the most part. And but Amy grew up with the public pools, and she's just all going nuts about, dude, public pool candy bars at the snack bar are always frozen or refrigerated. It is the best place to buy a candy bar. You got to get the nachos with the cheese sometimes and you just sit out. I can't wait until the kids are a little bit more trustworthy with their swimming abilities that I can like bring a book. And we're recording this on Tuesday night. They're at the pool right now. And, yeah, the pool opened on Saturday, and this is indeed their third time going to the pool.
That's awesome.
So
I feel like the last time I was regularly at a public pool, I'll be there for you by the Rembrandts played every hour on the hour that you were there. Not that I didn't like it at the time, but that was certainly a popular tune.
So. Yeah. So far, like. And also last week was the last week of school for a lot of places around here too. And so for my kids on their summer vacation, I think they're going to get super spoiled and we're going to end up as their parents burning ourselves out. But like right now, man, they're having a blast. Today, for example, we got up. I took two of them with me fishing at 5 a.m. this morning, and we fished for a while, and then the bite was slow. They went and played on a playground for a while. We came home, we had to do some things, we did some stuff, but then like we went back out to a park, played on the playground and threw baseballs around and that kind of thing. And then their mom gets home and she's like, hey, let's go to the pool. So, and this has been their summer vacation so far, has been days like this almost every day.
That's fantastic. So
we'll see.
Off to a great start. I didn't know you all love pools so much. You guys can come over to our backyard whenever you want.
I didn't know we loved pools so much either.
We don't have the frozen candy bars, but I can make that happen.
That's awesome. A climbing wall.
We don't have a climbing wall, but I can also jerry-rig something.
There you go.
Yeah. He's also always got a fridge full of Diet Fresca. So that's anytime. True. You just load up.
I can hook you up with a fully stocked fridge.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I want to go over to Corey's house just for drinks.
Let me try this Starbucks drink now.
Not all drink. Starbucks.
is it couth to drink like half of one and put it back?
Sure.
And move on to the next.
Whatever guests at our house want to do. That's awesome.
You can take your like Big K brand cola and go swap it with stuff in his fridge.
That's a perfect segue into one of the questions we got for our new segment, Answers from the Middle. And this came up at a conversation with friends. If you take a 24 pack to something like Memorial Day of an adult beverage, let's say, and there are some left over, do you take the remaining number of your beverages back home with you, your quote unquote leftovers, even though they're unopened, still floating in there? Do you take those home with you at the end of the party? Or is that a really unclassy thing to do? Mm.
To be honest with you, I've done both things. I've never gone like into a cooler and cherry picked my stuff back out, but I have like brought something and it kind of like stayed out on the counter or whatever, still in the box. People were just feeding themselves from the box. And then I grabbed the box my way out. I have done that. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not. I would say more often than not, I leave it there. That doesn't answer the question of what I think is right, though.
Which would be?
I don't know, man. I want to say that etiquette should be to just leave it there for the host to do whatever they want, because they went through all of the hassle of putting the party on, right? And unless they're charging a cover, then I mean, that's no big deal. I mean, that is a big deal to throw a party and invite people over, and you got to clean up before and after and all that good stuff. So I think it's worth just leaving it with them, but I can also understand the other side of that, of like, you know, I brought 24, I drank 4, I'm going to go home with 20.
Well, let me augment the question slightly, because I think I misrepresented it in its original form, and see if this changes your answer, okay? Sorry about the background noise. If you bring a 24 pack to a party and others simply bring a 4 pack and you see them drinking yours, then what do you do? And isn't, and then this the kind of maybe a follow-up question, isn't the 24 pack or bottle of wine, if you take a bottle, isn't that really just a gift to the host, like you mentioned? Like, hey, yeah, thanks for hosting. Whatever's left is yours. But if people are bringing fewer drinks and then you see them drinking yours, the ones you brought.
As in like they're not drinking theirs?
They're not drinking theirs. They're drinking yours. And they brought significantly fewer.
Dylan, take a stab.
Man, I'd love to get invited to a party someday. I'm just kidding. I don't think that you're taking... There's a clear difference between taking something to the host, which you would arrive, take directly to the host and say, this is for you, thank you for hosting, versus bringing food that's communal with the purpose of like, hey, just bring a bunch of snacks. Hey, we're going to have the hamburgers and hot dogs. Everyone else bring your favorite drink and snacks. That implies your everything you bring is for the greater good of the attendees. If you show up with a bottle of wine or with something for the host, you walk up to the host and say, this is for you, thanks for hosting. So my thought is, I think the right thing to do is either leave it, especially if you're not like the last person out and it's just you and the host, leave it for anyone who's left at the party. At most, only leave with what you came with, if there's any left. I don't think you should ever be walking out with extra stuff or stuff that you didn't walk in with. Is my opinion. Now it's a little different if like, and I don't mean like, oh, I'm going to grab one extra can of soda for the road, like to have on the way home. I mean, like you brought a 12 pack, there's 8 of yours left and you're just jamming a bunch of drinks back into the box. I purposefully, when I go to things, try to do everything that I can to take things that I don't have to take home with me. So we just went to two events Saturday and Sunday, and we took cakes. We made cakes and took them to both events, and we purposely took them in throwaway aluminum pans with clear lids so that we could just, we took our pie cutter, but just grab the pie cutter, take that home and leave the cakes at the party and leave whatever meat or drinks or whatever. So I don't ever want to take anything home. To me, that's like, that's my contribution to the party. And at the end of the night, if the hosts want it, they make out with whatever's left because they hosted.
Mm-hmm. I have seen people bring, say, a 12 pack of something, drink six of them, and then for the remaining six they would have had, make themselves a little variety pack of whatever's left over in the cooler to take home. Like when you can go to some grocery stores and just get a cardboard six pack and get yourself like six different like IPAs or different micro brews. I've seen people do that.
No,
that is absolutely not
good. That feels wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always context, right? Like there's some people like contributing a variety of different drinks to a thing and they'll be like, hey, everybody, I brought this many different snacks or this many different chips because I wanted you all to try a bunch of stuff.
Like donuts.
Like donuts. Yes. Like if I brought 30 donuts to four different people and like, I know there's a bunch, I want you to just be able to try a bunch. That's a little bit different, but I don't know. You can't, this isn't just a pick mix and match at, you know, Whole Foods. Like pick whatever canned sodas you want, throw them into this thing, get as many variety cookies as you want in a bag for $4.99 a pound.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think more specifically, the thing that is bothersome of that is like they profited vis-a-vis drinks, right? So they drank, they brought 12, they drank four, they left with 12.
Right.
Plus, that's obviously, unless you're invited to, like, I mean, sometimes hosts will say, I'm not going to drink everything that's here. Take some with you, whatever you want. Sure. That's fine. But obviously, and there's scenarios. I don't think there is a scenario where you net beverages when you leave. But like, even if you were like meeting up at a park, if you're meeting up at a park, everybody's meeting at a park, then yes, you take back whatever it is you brought.
Good example.
Didn't consume. But even in that scenario, you don't leave with a net plus on drinks. Yeah. That is no, absolutely not. Never.
Yeah, that doesn't, the exceptions to that are like anytime you're nearing the end of the party, like you said, and a host, especially somebody, they ordered 15 pizzas, there's four whole uneaten pizzas left, and somebody's like, please, we're not going to eat four whole pizzas. Please take one home. Also, there's a bunch of extra drinks. We don't drink these kind of drinks. Then you're talking about end of night situations where it might be more cleanup for the host if they have to find something to do with all these. But you're talking about like end of the night. You're one of the last few people there. I don't like this net, like coming out in the net positive on drinks because, you know, I did a mix and match with my 12 pack. I don't care for that.
Yeah. Kendall said it's definitely wrong to do, you know, to gain more beverages. I get down to the granular level of like, it's not just quantity, it's quality. So even if you had six left from your 12 pack and you brought Milwaukee's Best, but you took home Stella's or like Dead Guy Ale or like something that's a little more rare, the 1-for-1 ratio isn't even equal now. So you take something that's like three times the value of what you brought to the party. That doesn't feel fair. That's fun. I love picking that stuff apart. We have a few more in the hopper, but I want to save some of our questions for From the Middle for future episodes. But I thought that was definitely relatable, being that we were all just at a bunch of Memorial Day festivities. So, hey, this is really random, but because we had like a week where we had a guest, I have to shout out our mutual friend, James Taylor, who got his first ever solo victory in Warzone. Congrats. Right. I was busting his chops for a really long time. And he had, so there's a new game mode to Call of Duty Warzone, or there was, I think it's already over. It was called Operation Monarch. And you were on the island doing the regular every man for himself survival mode or teams of four while Godzilla and King Kong were having a battle with each other. And the graphics were spectacular, like their size ratio compared to the rest of the island. And they're fighting each other and they're moving around. So Godzilla would dive underwater and pop up in a new area. Or Godzilla would like rage out and then like do a big jump and land in a different area. And the whole time you can shoot at them. But then if you do enough good stuff, you can use their power, their special moves against the human enemies on the map. So it was a really cool game mode for a while. And he had a victory in that, but he was playing with three other players. And so I gave him this soft congratulations, but it was like, but also you haven't won in solos. Like you had to rely on a team to do it. So then he did like a day or two later. And I was so excited for him because I know how that feels. And we finally got to play together a few days later. So anyway, shout out to James on his first Call of Duty Warzone solo victory. That was pretty special.
Wonderful.
Did you know we have a shared note for this podcast? We have one that we use to like just loosely keep notes for some of the talking points. Then I personally have one that is formatted perfectly for all of our social media posts with all of the calls to action and all of the links and whatever. I was tinkering around in the second one that I mentioned and I lost everything. And I was very annoyed because I was like, this is took a really long time to format all these links. And I like that it's consistent each week. So I Google it. Did you know if you shake your phone in notes, you can get an undo?
Yeah, I get that with I do crossword puzzles on my phone every day. And like if I shake my phone, it's like, do you want to cancel typing the letter H or whatever?
I feel like this is a public service announcement to somebody who's lost something in notes that was very special to them for future reference. This feels like a secret code to your phone that I can't imagine most people know. How do you hear about such things?
You know, when they have those articles, it's like 10 things you've never used your iPhone for. And it's just read those. Useless. Just read those every now and then.
Yeah.
Super random, but it changed my life. I was like, what? I got a game genie for my iPhone.
There you go.
Speaking of super random and something I want to undo, I have a food related question for you. We were, my wife and I were ordering food the other night and I'm in the mood. It's a pizza shop and I'm in the mood for a sandwich. And I come across this description for a steak sub. And the description is, this signature dish is loaded with tender steak, provolone cheese, grilled onions, mushrooms, lettuce, Roma tomatoes, and mayonnaise. So if I say that, what are you expecting?
All of those things?
Mm-hmm. A steak sandwich, maybe like kind of like a shaved steak or like a Philly, something like that. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yes.
Okay. So I see a picture that looks like what I'm thinking. It doesn't say Philly steak sub, but I'm thinking, oh, because of all the other ingredients, they're just calling it a steak sub. And then when it showed up, my steak sub, or we picked it up. And when I got it home, it was very large. It was probably a foot long sub. And the steak was like a really thin one-piece burger patty the entire length of the sub in a rectangle shape, like a perfect rectangle. Mm. And so when I'm thinking like a shaved Philly steak sandwich, and then that shows up, it's just not what I was expecting.
You got a long burger.
Like a Salisbury steak?
Like a perfectly rectangle steak from a pan. You know the pizzas that were rectangle that we got in school? It's like that, but quote, steak on a sub. Mm-hmm. And then I bite it and it tastes like a burger.
Right. So I think that it's their fault for miscommunicating this. However, the idea of a steak burger, even. Like there's places that advertise their burgers as being steak burgers, like Steak and Shake, for example.
Sure.
Everyone else, everyone in the world would just be handed one of those and they would saw it and say, yeah, this is a right. hamburger. Steak and Shake calls them steak burgers. So that terminology, they're not out of line for using that terminology. They are out of line for saying, look, we understand that we're a sub place and you have this in your head when you're thinking of a long sandwich with steak in it. We need to correct that before we sell this to you. Yeah.
Because if it's a pizza shop, I was trying to figure out, and it was fine for a sandwich that tasted like what I wasn't expecting, which was a cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out, first of all, which emotion I should be reacting with. And second, if you're a pizza shop in my head and you serve subs, you're going to serve a couple of the generic popular kinds of subs, which is probably like an Italian, like a turkey bacon ranch, maybe a roast beef, maybe a Philly cheesesteak, maybe a whatever. But I was thinking, oh, they just added more ingredients to a Philly, so they're calling it a steak sub and not like a Philly cheesesteak with just like meat, cheese, and peppers.
Right.
And so I didn't know if that would annoy you, and I still don't know how I feel about it. I think now that I know it's a cheeseburger sub, I would maybe order it again, knowing what to expect. It was just bizarre. I've never ordered a steak sub in my life that wasn't like shaved steak, right, like Philly cheesesteak style, especially from a pizza shop. It was just bizarre. Anyways, that's my story on my steak sub for the week.
Speaking of bizarre and things being named in such a way that you're not getting what you're expecting, Nerdist and a few other geek culture publications, IGN being one of them, commented on the fact that there's a horror slasher film coming out called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Have you seen screen grabs of this?
Yeah.
So for those of you who aren't on YouTube, I'll just talk through a few photos. So like, here's Winnie. And he's like, it's this terrifying mask situation. I don't know if they're supposed to be humans behind there, but then there's one where they show Piglet and some of the other characters. Hold on, I'll try to find it. Yeah, I was like, that looks terrifying.
It does.
Anyway.
And for anyone wondering why this is allowed to happen.
Yes.
It's not because Disney decided to make a horror film. It's because the public domain is up on Winnie the Pooh. It's an old enough character that now the rights to Winnie the Pooh will be open. And Disney has tried really hard for a long time to basically lobby at a government level and say, if we release enough films and shows and hyper-specific versions of a character, we can trademark that kind of new version, which kind of has locked down old versions. I'm not a legal expert, but that's essentially what they've done. Well, Winnie the Pooh is now in public domain. And so somebody decided right away to make a horror film out of it. So just make sure if you know somebody who says we're going to go see the new Winnie the Pooh, make sure to just follow up on the full title of the film and the production company behind it.
Anyway, well, I had to get you guys' thoughts on that because that looks absolutely terrifying.
It'll be interesting because I think Mickey Mouse is pretty darn close to being hitting the public domain. Wow. So it'll be interesting to see what I think part of the reason, I don't know if this is true. You know how a few years back Disney put Steamboat Willie back at the beginning of the movies whistling? Supposedly they're doing that to try to put that version of him back
to like re-up their usage of him
so that version, which would be the one that would become public domain, is like, well, no, he's our intro character for all of our movies. This is a very specific, so they're trying to find a way to like re-up on Steamboat Willie.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. just watch out for your Winnie the Pooh movie titles.
Wow. You guys watching anything good?
So much. Do we need to take a break and come back? Because I feel like
let's do it. It's a good time to take a break.
Let's hear from one of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network. We'll be right back with what we're watching.
Hey, man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Everybody knows at the root of any good relationship, any relationship worth anything, is the only thing that matters between two people. And I'm talking about television. That's right. That's why you should listen to Married with Television, man, which is a podcast by my friends Shannon and Jamie, I call her cat ears, about movies and TV that they have loved for decades, man. You listen at marriedwithtv.com or anywhere you get your podcast. They are proud members of the Odd Pods Media Network, man. Married with Television.
Those folks are so great. Definitely check out their podcast if you haven't already. Anyways, we are back. There's a lot of things that I've been watching. I don't know how much you guys have been watching, but I've been watching a lot. Should I just ramble off some things and then we can discuss? Do you want to go like, is this a line item thing? Are we going to go one by one?
No, just do a dump and we'll pick at what we want.
Yeah, there'll be one in there that we're probably...
That sounds horrifying. I'll go ahead and take a dump so you can pick at the ones you want to pick at.
Thank you.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, just don't leave with more than you came with.
Trust me. Not a problem. We've talked on the podcast before about Love on the Spectrum. That was a show that took place in Australia. Well, guess what? Netflix is back at it with Love on the Spectrum US. We still haven't talked about Moon Knight. The whole series has been complete. We've had guests. Downton Abbey, A New Era, is in theaters. We went to see that. It was a lot of fun. Or as the old lady that cut in front of us asked, is this Downton Abbey? And we told her, yes, that it was. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. I saw two movies in theater in 1 week for the first time, and I don't know how long. Obi-Wan Kenobi episodes 1 and 2 are out. So, and so much more. Somebody Feed Phil season 5 just came out, and there's so many Marvel and Star Wars shows coming. I've absolutely lost track. So go ahead and pick at the wound you want to pick at.
Well, I was the one who brought up Love on the Spectrum Australia because I was obsessed with it. Did you watch the Australian version at all? And what do you think of the US version?
Yes, we watched the entirety. I think there's 2 seasons of Australia and we've watched season 1 of the US. It's formatted exactly the same, but they're American. I don't remember the Australian version. I think everyone was relatively young in the 2 seasons of Australia. I'm guessing 20s and 30s. There is one guy, in the US season named Steve. And Steve is so likable that I can't do Steve justice. He's just so nice. You just feel like he would be like the nicest person to spend time with. And so I'm really rooting for Steve in this season. I did. It's very good. It feels a lot like the first one. They do have a different teacher that comes and works with a few of them on things, maybe not as much as the Australian season, but still a very, very likable show.
See, Jodie Rogers was one of my favorite parts of the Australian show. She's the coach who works with them on dating and communication skills and makes illustrations so they can, like, she's one of the most endearing aspects of the Australian version to me. I'm trying to get her on the podcast. So I feel like that I'll miss not having her, but I'm excited to fall in love with some new participants on. Participants feels like the wrong word because it's not really a contest, just the subjects of the documentary.
I will say when the new kind of coach introduces herself, the first thing she says is she's also on the spectrum. And so right away, you're kind of like, oh, that's so cool. She has a whole other level of. This isn't somebody who's an expert, not only an expert in working with people, but also has lived a lot of what they're experiencing. And so you do sort of like her pretty quick just because, you know, she's able to relate more easily with everyone on the show.
Yeah. Kendall, is there one in there you want to pick at? Because I have a few more questions about his list.
Let me start with Moon Knight because we haven't talked about it. I feel like I have a relatively specific opinion on it, but I want to hear yours. I know Corey, I think kind of just decided Moon Knight wasn't for him, right?
Yeah, it was like three episodes in. I still haven't finished it. It just didn't, nothing against it. I love what's his head. It just didn't draw me in. It just.
I tell you what, I watched about 2/3 of the Batman and just felt like that was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dylan, what did you think of Moon Knight?
Well, I was talking about this with, I think we were talking about this at the picnic Monday. I'm just at a place where it's going to be really hard for me to not enjoy a lot of the content that's coming out from Marvel and Star Wars right now, because I lived in a time where it wasn't readily available and constantly coming out, and I know it won't last forever, and I'm just enjoying the heck out of it. And so none of this content, I never feel like it has to be my favorite. I don't go in with massive expectations. I just trust Marvel. The feel of all of these shows and movies are so different that I feel like I'm kind of getting something, even though it's a lot of origin stories and a lot of whatever, I feel like I'm still getting something new at each show. And that's exactly how I felt about Moon Knight and about Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Frankly, Multiverse of Madness is probably one of my least favorite Marvel films up to this point, but it still gave me something none of the other ones had. And tonally was very different. I felt the same way with Moon Knight. I'm kind of excited about some of the teases of like, are we going to see Moon Knight come back? Are we going to see him pair with like Black Knight and Blade and maybe Captain Britain? Or how are they going to use him in the future? Like, I don't think they're just going to throw him in with, you know, Shang-Chi and Captain Marvel. I think they're going to use some of these like street level heroes in a different way. And so I thought it was a really interesting look. Not the first character that's dealt with mental health stuff, but the most recent and the most serious. And so I just appreciate the heck out of them giving us completely different locations for these movies and like tonal feel and themes. And I thought Oscar Isaac did a great job. So it's going to be hard for me to like poo-poo anything, but I did just admit that Multiverse of Madness was like probably one of my least favorite Marvel movies up to this point. So, so it's not like nothing new. I don't, you know, nothing new goes to the bottom of my list. I thought it was really good. I'm excited to see what they do with the second series, whether Oscar Isaac comes back or they use kind of the main female character as the main sort of person going forward. And I don't know anyone that has completed the show that didn't at least like it. And if you said opposite, you'd be like the first person that's felt that way.
Yeah. Don't dislike it. I'm entertained, but like, it didn't draw me in enough to prioritize that over some of the other things on Netflix that I have the opportunity to watch with a little bit of spare time. But I am glad to hear you say that about Multiverse of Madness. For those that were beginning to think that Dylan is a Marvel apologist and loves everything that they do, it's actually comforting to me to hear you say it's your least favorite of all Marvel films, or was. And it was very different tonally. Sam Raimi as a director made a lot of choices that would be different from those that we've grown accustomed to director wise. But, you know, he's got a lot of nods to his other films, and, you know, he has little things that he includes in his films. Bruce Campbell has to make a cameo, and there has to be a car that shows up. It's a certain make and model and all these things. So anyway, that's good.
Yeah. So for me, Moon Knight had a fantastic, maybe it's just my mood. Loved the first episode and couldn't wait to move on from there. And I felt like the entire rest of the season wasn't what the first episode was. Just from a pace. Maybe it's that there's a certain artistic style that we saw a lot of in that first one, because it was such a fast paced chase kind of thing for the like almost the entire episode. And then it just kind of dropped back into drama from there, from my perspective. And so for me, it was okay. Not great. And I felt like, that I had such high expectations after seeing episode one, and the following episodes didn't live up to it, in my opinion, from what I saw. But
yeah, I think it's a good reset. for all the Marvel fans who followed most of the movies, like, all this stuff is going to get pretty into its own niche now. I mean, there's going to be like a big ensemble film again, but like from here on out, like there's going to be, they're going to deep dive some more niche areas, kind of like Multiverse of Madness, just not exactly my speed. And it wasn't because it was darker horror, you know, kind of scary. For me with Multiverse, it was that it felt like WandaVision and Loki and Spider-Man No Way Home had built up this big catastrophic multiversal event. And then I feel like I need to say spoiler alert. So if you haven't watched Multiverse of Madness, you know, skip this. But then you get into the movie and, you know, it's about Wanda finding her kids and, you know, wanting to connect with her kids in another dimension. It wasn't the build. I mean, it could be the building of some cataclysmic, you know, multiversal event, but it didn't feel that way throughout the whole movie. It felt like we had this huge built up and Multiverse of Madness. And then it was like, you know, we're just looking for the old kiddos.
Well, you bring up a good point, and I don't know why I've never thought of this. Maybe it's obvious, but comic book geeks didn't go into a shop and buy every Marvel title. They just bought the books of the character they were following. I'm following Spider-Man subtitle here, book 5 of 10. And they would buy that one each week or each month. You don't. And we said this about streamers, like, well, no, there's HBO Max and Hulu and Netflix. And how am I supposed to be expected to keep up with all these and buy all of these? You don't. You just subscribe to the one that interests you. And I love your point about there will still be the big 6 to 10 heroes in one film stuff. But if you just really geek out on Moon Knight, then enjoy. Like, people still bought Spawn comics. And people still bought like obscure character. I want to follow the Martian Manhunter series. That's like DC character, but still like awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, one of the first Marvel movies I'm not going to care as much to see is probably Blade. I'm just never really interested in vampires as like a primary type of creature in a movie and what that means towards the rest of the story. It's just not an interesting thing to me.
Yeah.
So, but like, would I want to see Blade and Black Knight and Daredevil and 4 or 5 other heroes in a street level ensemble film where like they're fighting off a different, well, sure. Like that would be fun. And so I think it's the same with the comic analogy. Like, people will get to these crossover events and they'll follow a couple characters and then they'll split back off into their separate thing. And so I just think we're there. Like, it's totally okay for the average Marvel fan to peel off. You know, if it's not, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to like, you know, there's no way my wife was going to get into Multiverse of Madness, but she's going to, if they do another standalone Spider-Man movie, she's going to be on board to watch that. And that's okay. There's just certain characters now that people can be into and go follow those shows.
Yeah.
Indeed. Now, how about Obi-Wan? Have you guys seen both episodes? Yeah. Yeah. Fun, isn't it?
It is fun. It's just so good to see Ewan back on the screen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
In that role.
You know, this is like, I'm the worst person to ask for any kind of like fair, like, any kind of fair response.
Unbiased.
Ewan could be dressed up as Obi-Wan and walk through the desert for 6 episodes. And I'd be like, oh my God, it was incredible. Did you see his face when he hit that dune? And then the face that he made when he went over the other dune. Like, I'm a big Ewan McGregor fan. I'm a big Obi-Wan fan. I love Star Wars. There's very little that could happen. Now, realistically, I wouldn't want to watch him do that. I mean, I would watch it, but I wouldn't want to watch him do that. But like, as long as there's a decent story for the Obi-Wan thing, fans will want the absolute best Star Wars story. But for me, if it's a decent story with Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, I'm game. And they've already done enough in 2 episodes for me to feel like we're going to get something cool out of this. So
I think it's safe to say it's not where we thought it was going to go already in the first 2 episodes. Not some of the things that perhaps I, and like you said at the picnic yesterday, I stayed away from speculation and chatter online and Reddit threads about who, what actors are in it. And so therefore, what do we think that means for the plot? None of that, none of that. So, but even still, I was like, oh, this is an interesting side mission.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardcore fans sort of create a little bit of their own peril by wishful thinking and digging into all of this stuff. I mean, I think we saw it with, you know, what was WandaVision. They thought it was Mephisto. That was a big thing around WandaVision. I think fans get themselves sort of carried away with all the things they wish and they hope would be, it would be, and they can't just, it's so hard for them to go in then and just enjoy for what it is.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and so whether it's Star Wars or Marvel or whatever, if it's really something you love, maybe you owe it to yourself to not deep dive it before it comes out and just show up at the theater or kick on Disney Plus, enjoy the thing for what it is. So and allow yourself to enjoy it with no expectations and just, it's Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. I'm just going to bask in it. I just, whatever he does for six episodes, I'm just going to bask in it.
Yeah. So, I think for Star Wars, one of the biggest examples of that was everybody speculating about who Rey's father was going to end up being.
Yeah. And then Snoke and Rey's father.
And then they all see the movies and then they're all pissed off because their theory was wrong. And I'm with you. Like, sit back, be a fan, and let someone tell you a story. That's all you need to do. Your life will be a little easier. You'll enjoy art a little bit more if you're willing to just let people tell you the story.
Yeah.
And that's exactly my attitude toward all that.
And it probably won't be the story that you wanted. And it might not even be that great of a story, but it's okay to still just enjoy the parts you can enjoy and then move on. But I think they put themselves in their own, this tough position sometimes. I feel bad for them. And then since neither of you asked about Downton Abbey, I'll just say, if you're into that, it was better than the last movie. And it's a perfectly nice world to escape into for an hour and a half.
Now, I'm caught up. I've watched the series and we watched the last film. I thought the last film was supposed to like wrap everything up. And now we're fine. This is our sort of final farewell to Downton Abbey. I didn't even know there was a second film being done.
Well, I mean, you would think that based on how everything happened until people realize how much money can be made by it not being the end. And so then they go, well, if we start a new one and call it a new era and find a way to kick off, I will say, everyone that needed to come back really came back for it. And the biggest one among fans was Maggie Smith. Obviously she's much older. She's been in huge franchises. And so Maggie Smith was able to come back for a new era, which was probably their thinking was, if we're going to do any more of these, let's do them while she's still alive. And then we can decide later if we want to make any more and keep telling more stories. But I'm sure they make too much money to not keep telling a story. So it was nice. It's a perfectly nice world to escape in to for as long as you want to escape.
Well, it might be unexpected from our listeners who have come to learn that we primarily comment on some of the big franchises. But I said to Dylan the other day, like, dude, we should do a Tangents episode on the whole series, This Is Us. Because one of the episodes the other day absolutely moved me to tears. And the show is over. Sherry and I watch it together. We haven't seen it, so don't spoil it for us. But wouldn't that be funny to do a From the Middle Tangents episode on This Is Us?
Yeah, I can. I could tangents that show.
Dylan mentioned Obi-Wan going over dunes, and speaking of characters going over dunes, Kendall, did you watch the films yet?
Yeah. I mean, so I finished the book a little bit ago, and then my wife listened to the book on tape. And we started by watching the 2021 release of Dune, which I thought was an amazing movie. I went into it knowing nothing, which I wanted because I didn't want to know anything about the book to read it. And so I didn't even know that Dune, like the cast of Dune surprised me. I knew nothing about the cast until I'm watching it. Yeah. And I'm seeing Zendaya show up. I'm seeing Oscar Isaac, right? I'm seeing Bautista there. Jason Momoa. Incredible. Yeah. Man crush, Jason Momoa. And I liked the film. And then what was confusing and a little bit frustrating is that the book is broken up into three books. And the 2021 movie stops like at the end of the first book. And I'm like, there is so much more. what just happened here? And because it's like you're just getting to the good parts. And so yeah. Then I found out that indeed book two or movie two is going to come out next year. And then depending on how well that goes, there are plans to then make a third film. So I'm excited to hear that. I enjoyed Dune. I thought it was a good representation. Specifically, the 2021 film was a good representation of the book. Not that that matters, as long as it's a good film. However, wait, what was it? 1984,
I think. Yeah.
The 1984 Dune. My wife only watched half of it. But it's just a... It was just a weird movie.
Yeah.
It's and I mean, it took, I don't want to be the book was better kind of person, but like it took so many liberties from the book, away from the book, that it's just like, it's like they weren't even trying to be convenient. It's like they were in their heads trying to make the book better. With some of the decisions they were making, and I didn't understand where they were going. Now that film went through the entire book, but like I feel like the timeline of the 1984 movie, because we stopped at about halfway through, Amy went to bed, and at that point, looking at how much time was left in the movie, we're both like, okay, it looks like this is just going to be book one instead of the full novel. And but nope, they managed to fit the entire rest of the novel in the second half of that movie, which was a mistake because they had to skip major plot points, like huge pieces of story that were far better than what they came up with. And I don't know, it was just a weird movie. You had like, you know, weird aliens who are just like farting galactic material or something. I don't know what that was like. Nuts. Read the book, watch the 2021 film, get excited for 2023, and just pretend like 1984 never happened. That's that's my recommendation to everybody. I'm a fan.
Well, I skipped the book, went to the 84 film first, and then did the Villeneuve version from 2021. So I had a completely different experience. But you have to imagine me when I'm seeing that weird space slug poop pieces of like planets and
whatever
light.
That
I'm
was
like,
going on.
I'm like, what is happening? That's funny. Well, thanks for sharing with us how that's going. Yeah, I'm excited for the next Dune. So I've been watching kind of different things. You ever have a movie that like piques your interest and you forget about it for a huge span of time, and then you go, oh yeah, I never watched that. So I had that experience with a documentary. I'm going to share my screen. I had seen the trailers for this years ago. The film is called One Day on Earth. You can watch it for free if you go to onedayonearth.org. The premise is very interesting and it's very simple. They have at least one representative in every single country on the planet film whatever is around them. So this is one of those just feel good about humankind, see how people live in different parts of the world, perhaps gain a little bit of global perspective. There's at least one person shooting in every single country on the planet, and then they put it together in a 90-minute documentary. And what's interesting is it follows themes like love in every country of the world, how people get food and water in every country in the world? What industry is like in every country? Crime, war. I mean, it's just so beautiful, so well done. There's a little trick. You have to give them your email and then they send you a password to watch the film for free. But honestly, it's one of those, like, I would highly recommend it to everyone. Like, you really should do that at some point. Know what you're getting, you know, what you're signing up for. It's not all feel good. Like, some parts are hard to watch when you see how other people live, but it's just so beautifully done. And it leaves on a positive, you know, it sort of ends on like people playing music in all different parts of the world. It's just really beautiful. So that was great. And then I watched three stand-up specials back to back. So Chris DiStefano's special, Speci Weshi, Ricky Gervais's new special on Netflix, Supernature, and David Spade's special, Nothing Personal. Of the three, Ricky Gervais is by far the best. He's just such a phenomenal writer. I found offensive some of what he said, but I also appreciate that it's Ricky Gervais, and he's very much against some of the things that I am very much for, which is totally cool. I can separate the point of view from the performer and still appreciate what he's doing, even if it's something that I don't personally agree with. But it was just
very big of you.
I laughed a lot and had a lot of fun watching it, even though he's jabbing sometimes things that are, you know, very important to me. So that was great. And then Chris DiStefano, I've sort of been watching him as he comes up and appears on some of the podcasts I enjoy. He's a New York comic that runs around and goes back and forth between LA and New York. So he rubs shoulders with some of the LA comics that I enjoy. So I've seen him as a guest multiple times. I think he's very naturally funny. And he did one of these things that a lot of comics are doing now, which is like, I'm going to shoot it, whether you want it or not, Netflix or Hulu or Prime Video. And then I'm going to kind of just hope y'all get into a bidding war. But if you don't, guess what? I'm just going to release it on my YouTube channel anyway, because I'm the content creator and I own that page and it still helps me. So, and then he kind of makes fun of Netflix for not buying it because they hadn't up to that point. And then Netflix ended up being the ones that put it on their platform. So that was really good. And then the last thing is a musician that I just discovered. You guys know I love Chris Stapleton. I've mentioned Marcus King and Marcus King Band on this podcast before, and he's very much in that vein. Teddy Swims, go listen to everything Teddy Swims you can. He has a new a single out called Dose, but go to YouTube right now and watch his rendition of Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. It's in the basement with just a few other dudes. It's in a basement with just a few other dudes. He does it at a very different tempo. This dude's voice, and apparently he's a couple years, I mean, he's been in music for a long time, but a lot of his videos on social media and YouTube are like 2 years old. I'm just discovering him. I can't get enough. I listened to his album like three times. Teddy Swims for the win. So that's kind of things that I've been enjoying over the last week or two.
So one of the comedians I saw on the note was David Spade.
Yeah.
Which I saw him right before. So we recently dumped Netflix for HBO. For HBO Max. So that we could watch Dune and The Batman. And I'm going through The Sopranos right now. But I did get to catch David Spade. And I want to see Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
But David Spade, I thought so many times when I'm watching comedians from like when I was in high school and they were killing it then. Specifically, I'm thinking of Dana Carvey.
Yep.
And then in their maybe twilight of their career, they try it again. And I felt like Dana Carvey has fallen way flat. And others have done the same. David Spade, I didn't think he didn't rock my world or anything, but I thought he held his own. I thought it went pretty well.
I thought the same thing. It was very good. It wasn't awesome. It was not bad. It was good. He still maintains the way he delivers funny stories. That's really it. It's just him. It's almost not even stand up in some ways. It's just him telling funny stories, but he's David Spade. He can sell out a theater and just flash his Rolex and tell a funny story, and people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Speaking of stand-up, we've had our buddy Brad on the show, and John Mulaney came to Columbus. And John Mulaney, I didn't know this, but has really struggled with drug abuse and had just gotten out of rehab. And so he sort of opened the show, from what I heard from Brad, is what you're going to tell your all your friends after this is, oh, yeah, I saw him after he got out of rehab, which you wouldn't expect from John Mulaney because he's so polished. He wears a suit. His hair is always slicked back.
Yeah.
And that's just it. Like, he talked about that very thing. Like, there's almost this, I never thought you would, which is like how I got away with it for so long. But anyway, interestingly, and I don't want to get political, before Mulaney comes out, he's like, we have a special guest. This is all Brad telling me this story, so credit to Brad. He's like, we have a special guest. Dave Chappelle comes out.
Wow.
Because Dave lives in Yellow Springs, so it's not all that far away. So Dave Chappelle comes out. He's only up there for 8 to 10 minutes. This is right after he got charged on stage by a homeless person who really had no issue with his transgender jokes. This was just a homeless person that was trying to get a little bit of attention and was angry about other things. But so he's like, yeah, you probably saw that. There was a lot of press around that. Yeah. And who attacks me with a gun? Or was it a knife? Or was it a gun that identified as a knife? Right. And people go, because of his last couple specials. So Brad tells me that shortly thereafter, BuzzFeed posted an article. And by the way, everybody laughed at that joke. He was kind of making fun of the recent goings on in his life. Everybody had a good time. BuzzFeed posts an article that's like, how dare John Mulaney subject people to the hate-filled Dave Chappelle, who once again is bombarding people with his subject matter of anti-transgender, blah, blah, blah. And he surprised people and they felt unsafe. And Brad was like, I was there and people were cracking up laughing. And it just, Brad and I had this long discussion about how there's no checks and balances. Like, even somebody writing about the event that they were at so misrepresented what actually happened. And Brad was like, I was there, dude. I was in the room. People did not feel unsafe or that he was, that Dave Chappelle was thrust upon them against their will. It was, they were cheering, they were excited, and they laughed at him laughing at himself and the recent press that he's gotten around his views on transgender rights and stuff like that. So I don't know. I felt like bringing it up because we were talking about comedy. But that type of stuff just like grinds my gears because, again, not even taking a side, just the fact that somebody can so misrepresent like something that happens. Anyway, crickets.
Well, I'm afraid to talk now. I mean, what are we worried about, getting canceled?
Exactly.
We've covered that. Can't happen.
Yeah. Well, I thought we needed to vamp at least a minute before we bring in our sponsor. Thanks, Artius, man.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Restoration Beard Butter right now, and it's very silky smooth, keeps my beard nice and moist, smells amazing. Go to artiusman.com, artiusman.com. Use promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout to get 25% off of your order. And then any subsequent orders you place, you will be forever tagged as someone who was referred by our humble little podcast. And so we will get credit, a small kickback for your purchases. You'll get amazing products and you'll support a great local company who uses natural products right here in Central Iowa. So thanks, Artius Man. Love their stuff. Anything else, guys?
No, sir.
All right. Well, you all have a wonderful week. It's been fun catching up for an hour or so. You can expect our next episode next Wednesday morning. Be sure to tune in. Indeed. Bye.